to preach, fill in for Jay while he's gone. There was a Bible study at a nursing home, and they crowded in. He was a good preacher, a good teacher, and the crowd enjoyed him in his monthly visit. One time after the class, the lady, who was very enthusiastic always, when class was over, she just rolled her wheelchair over to the window and sat there and looked. Another lady who was very close to her noticed what was going on, and she walked over, pulled up a chair, and sat down by her. She said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Nothing." She said, "You're always so enthusiastic before and after the study. What's wrong?" She said, "I'll tell you." She said, "I've always respected that man's preaching, always thought he was a great Bible teacher, and I enjoyed his class. But today, I'm disagreeing with what he said." And the other lady said, "What are you talking about? He was just talking about growing old gracefully." She said, "I know, but I'm going to fight it the whole way." And that's what we're doing. We color our hair, we put mascara on our eyes, we put lipstick on. I'm talking now about the women, not men, hopefully. But we do that. We've been doing that for a long time. We like to look young, and that's okay. I believe we need to look our very best at all times. But we are growing old, and we can't get away from that. Our text, and it was quite interesting, from Ecclesiastes 12, and I'm going to share that with you again with some thoughts along the way. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" That's one of our Bible texts in our memory verses for the year. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. So I've entitled my lesson, "Growing Young." And we're going to talk about that for a little bit today. But I want to look at the next few verses. "When the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, and the days when the keeper of the house tremble." Think about that, and you'll understand exactly what the writer had in mind. You pick up your cup of coffee in the morning and your hand shakes a little bit. The days are trembling. Our hands, the keeper of the house, is trembling. "And the strong men bow down." Two thoughts on that. The legs are the strongest muscle in the human body, and after a while, the knees begin to bend and they bow down. The other thought is the back muscles, two great muscles, and they too bow down as we grow older. "And the grinders cease because they're few. The teeth fall out and the grinding is very few. And those that look through the windows grow dim, and we buy glasses to remove that dimness. And the doors are shut in the street and the sound of grinding is low. We lose interest in what's going on outside, and the doors now are shut. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, as we grow older, the least little noise wakes us up, and we've all experienced that. And all the daughters of music are brought low, and they are afraid of heights as a terror in the way. We used to climb everything when we was young, and now we don't want to get up on a ladder that has three steps on it. We just don't want to do that anymore. When the almond tree blossoms, the hair turns white and begins to shine, and the grasshopper is a burden. The least little bug, the least little thing bothers us as we're growing older. Man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go out the street." We are going to grow old. We cannot stop it. Two men were talking in Bible class one time, and one of them said, "I don't like to grow old." And the other one smiled and reminded him. He said, "The only way to get away from that is to die young." And none of us want to do that. But knowing God will make every age meaningful. The enthusiasm of youth is tremendous. We love to see our young people take part. They look forward with anticipation to a yearly camp where they are encouraged and built up and edified and admonished. And churches support the camp. And I'm glad this one does, a Christian camp where our young people can go and be encouraged. And often young members, young visitors are baptized at the camp. It's enthusiastic, and that's the way we need to be. And as we grow older, the young adults with children, they plan activities for the kids, they plan activities and outings for themselves, and they, knowing God, are enjoying that age too. In fact, serving God is all that really matters. Go down to verse 13, our text for the year. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Some versions have taken the word duty out and make it, this is the whole of man. In the original Hebrew, I'm told that that's the way it states it. Not a duty, but man's purpose, man's reason for being on this earth is to glorify and serve God. Hosea 7:9 talks about a time will come when we'll have gray hairs here and there. And he's prophesying to Israel, who are now in captivity, that you'll be there long enough for your hair to turn gray. And they were there 70 years before they came out. I know a dear sister who began coloring her hair when she was quite young, and gray hairs came here and there. And she continued doing that, a little more color, a little more as she grew older. Tired of fighting it, she said, "When I'm 70, I'm going to think about letting it go gray." And sure enough, she did. And to this day, she's got a beautiful head of gray hair. But I want to share with you, too, some selfish reasons for serving God and growing younger. In Psalms 37 and 25, the psalmist said, I am young, and I'll be old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Years ago in Kentucky, I was talking to an elder in the church who is now up in his 80s. He was well known for living a godly life as long as they knew him. And I asked him about life, and he told me, he said, "I've reached that point I can do anything I want to do." And I thought, how strange for this man to say that. Because there's an element among religious people that once you're a Christian, God doesn't take into account anything else you do. A godless theory indeed. But he was saying this. He was saying, all my life I've endeavored to serve God. All my life I've tried to do everything God wanted me to do. And now I've reached the point that everything I want to do is what God wants me to do. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to be striving for. As we grow young and are renewed day by day, our spirits become stronger and the body becomes weaker, and we're able finally to say, everything God wants me to do is what I enjoy doing and what I am doing. We can strive for that as we grow younger, as our slogan says, for the year. Psalm 71, verse 18, says, "Forsake me not till I am able to strengthen those about me." What a beautiful thought for God, for the prayer of Isaiah, or the prayer of the psalmist, rather, to say, leave me on this earth long enough till I can lead others to bring glory to you. And that too ought to be our prayer. But people, that'll never happen without training. I think of Psalms or Proverbs 22:6. You're all familiar with it. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And when children learn to serve God and learn the pleasures of serving God, they one day will teach others what it's all about. And Isaiah and the Proverbs both say the same thing. Train the children and they will enjoy life. Growing young is literally impossible, and we know that. But I remember Jesus saying way back in Matthew 19, all things are possible with God. I want you to think about that as we think about the slogan for the year, growing young. All things are possible with God. With God on our side and with God in our lives, we can grow closer to God day by day. Here's how we do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul made mention of this. I want to read the first 5 verses. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. That's a beautiful thought about what God will do for his children. But look now at verse 17. He starts it out by saying, therefore. Let me give you a Bible hint. When you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. And Paul is making a point. The first 5 verses tell us, we know that our earthly house is going to be dissolved, and one day we'll have a better house, eternal in the heavens. He said, therefore, because of those things, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He said, we're growing young. Therefore, all those that are in Christ are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, we can rejoice in Christ. We've all known a young man growing up. There was a nuisance in the neighborhood. He rode his bike through lawns. He squealed the tires when he was able to drive. He terrified the children as he went up and down the street with his mufflers cracking and his car backfiring. And the people on that street would say, that young man's never going to amount to anything. But one day, that young man met a young lady, and it was like he grew up overnight. He changed. He became a responsible citizen, a joy in the neighborhood. He actually helped people instead of trying to scare them to death. Then, after a few weeks, he went to church with that young lady. And after a few months, he was baptized into Christ, and he became a new creature. And as the people watch him walking up and down the street or driving up and down the street with his girlfriend by his side, they would say, I can't believe the difference that young man made in his life. I can. He's a new creature. He's a new creation. In Christ, he become new people. And we become young again. Remember that. Growing young. And that's possible. Sometimes when I baptize a young person, after we come out of the baptistry and stand in front of the congregation, I usually remind them of one thing. I tell them, you are right now as pure as Christ. And I urge them to work at keeping that way. And I remind them that temptations will come. Problems will arise. Sin will happen, but stay close to the Lord and allow the blood of Christ to take away that sin as you repent of it and confess it. God will forgive. And what's beautiful about God, when He forgives, He forgets. It's like at baptism, we're given a new slate. We can start all over as we continue to grow young. Turn to Romans 6, in verse 6. Paul mentions the old man being crucified, the body of sin being destroyed, and we raised to walk in newness of life. Growing young. It starts with baptism. It starts the day we become a Christian. In that act, we have a new creation. We're new creatures. And we're growing young again. People, that is possible only by spending time with Jesus. When Jesus was on this earth, He chose disciples, and they followed Him. They referred to Him as their rabbi, translated teacher. They lived with Him. They ate with Him. They slept in the rooms where He slept. They walked in His steps literally as He traveled from town to town. They rode in a boat with Him. They watched Him walk on water. They were His disciples, and so are we. They spent time with Jesus. In fact, at least 3 years, maybe 3.5 years, they were discipled by being with Jesus. And so are we. We spend time with Jesus not only on Sunday as we commune with the Lord around the table, but every day of the week. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The Bible is the mirror of the soul. And as we look into that mirror, we see Jesus. But we also see ourselves as we are. And the idea of that is to work to make you and the picture of Jesus one. His disciple is to be like Him. As we behold His glory, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. But often, that's not how we use the mirror of God's Word. We read it, we hear about somebody preaching about it, and we think about somebody else. Boy, He told them, didn't He? I've heard that after a sermon was preached. Or He really stepped on their toes today. I heard that after a lesson was preached. And people, that's not the idea of the Bible. It's not to show the lives of others. It's to show our own life. It's as though we took a mirror and looked in the mirror, but we didn't see ourselves. We have it tipped so we can see somebody else. That's not the way to grow young and to grow close to Jesus. We can all, with unveiled faces, see the glory of the Lord as we read and study the Bible. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. He said, "Put off the old man and put on the new." He said, "The old man is corrupt, the new is not." Do you see the idea of growing young? We put off that old sinful man and we put on the new man created in the likeness of Jesus Christ. King David had a problem doing that. He wrote Psalms 51, and in that beautiful prayer he said, "My sin is ever before me." That bothers us too, doesn't it? The things that we did, the wrongs that we committed, the sins that we were involved in. And we regret that. We look at those things, we remember those things, and they tear at our soul. But please remember this. In Psalms, and also in the book of Romans, Paul said, when God forgives, he forgets. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 8 and verse 13, God promised, I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. When God forgives a wrong, we need to forgive it too, in ourselves and in others. When God forgives, he forgets, and when we learn to be like Christ, we'll be the same way. We'll forget ourselves and the wrongs that we have done and able to live now a new life in Christ Jesus. In fact, David figured that out a little later. In the prayer in verse 10 of 51 Psalms, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. David was praying that he would have a clean slate and be able to start life all over, forgiven by God. And thank God he did. Isaiah promised the same thing in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. We sing that. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. He said, when God forgives, he forgets. And when we learn to forget ourselves, we can soar again and to new heights serving God. Bette Midler had a song out, The Wind Beneath My Wings. For many of us men, we would say our wives are the wind beneath our wings. And for many good Christian sisters, they can say, my husband is the wind beneath my wings. As we support and encourage each other, we become wind to lift others up that they too might soar. A young Christian once said in a Bible class, referring to his own growth, he said, I guess I'm an average Christian. That doesn't make sense, does it? Would you be satisfied if your wife called you or referred to you as an average husband? No, average is middle of the road. Not good, not bad. Average is making a C on a report card, and no parents want that. They want their children to make A's and strive to be better. If you think of yourself as an average Christian, strive to be better. That's what Paul did. That's what Paul exactly did. Look at Philippians 3, beginning in verse 12. Paul said, now this is an inspired apostle. Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm still working at it. I'm not perfect yet, but I'm striving for the goal that's in Christ Jesus. A Christ-like spirit, a Christ-like attitude, and Christ-like work bringing others to the Lord. The last chapter that Paul wrote, he obtained what he was striving for. As he faced death, he wrote 2 Timothy, and in chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Look what he said, I have fought a good fight. Have you done that? Have you maintained the faith? Paul said, I've kept the faith. I have finished my course. We each have a course to finish. We each have a life to perfect. And like Paul, we need to strive on for that perfected goal. Strive on to be Christ-like. If any way we can assist you this morning in that, let us know. The elders or one will meet you down front if we can pray for you. As a child of God, Jesus said, remember through the pen of John, or through the pen of, he said, confess your faults through the pen of James. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. Do you need to do that so that you can finish your faith? Or perhaps you're here and you've never started, and today you need to be baptized into Christ. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The saved are added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, and only in the church of our Lord can we grow into the image of our Lord. Let us press on to perfection. If we can pray for you, if we can baptize you, if we can study with you, let us know and come down to the front as we stand and sing.